It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
He swings, he drives it to right field. This ball game is over. The Red Sox get their first walk-off of 2018. 3-2 with a winner as Hanley is being chased around in right field by his teammates.
They didn't get him yet.
That's the sounds you heard a half hour ago, everybody. Happy Red Sox home opening day in Fenway Park. It was a buzzin' here on this opening day. It took a little longer than we would have liked, but the Sox get it done in extra innings, and the Sox win it in the bottom of the 12th. They are now 6-1 on this season. Welcome in, everybody. It's Champlain Valley Game Night. Brady Farkas here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We go up until 7 o'clock today. We will have Bruins hockey. Bruins taking on the Florida Panthers coming up pregame show at 7 o'clock. Puck drop is 7:30, but man, that was a wide range of emotions. If you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. The Town Fair Tire text line is open as always. And the Red Sox, they win that game in 12 innings. The Red Sox dominate extra innings. That has been something they have excelled at for the better part of a year. Sox 17-3 now in their last 20 extra inning games. 17-3. In their last 20 extra inning games. No other team has more than 13 wins in that span. And as I alluded to, this game had a wide range of emotions. For you, the fan, because there's the pageantry of opening day. There's the excitement of opening day. We've got to shout out our boys over at the Vermont Air Guard, the Green Mountain Boys, who were part of the flyover early going. Congratulations to Amanda Pelkey, one of many Team USA Olympians with ties to the New England area. They were on hand, and Amanda Pelkey threw out a first pitch to Brock Holt. That was very cool to see. The pageantry of opening day was great. It was a beautiful day, although cold at Fenway, cold and windy, much like it is here. It was a beautiful day at Fenway. David Ortiz was there with Allie Raisman. It was very, very cool. And then you get to the game itself, and David Price was dominant. And that was great to see. I mean, of course it's great to see because you as Red Sox fans – want to see the Red Sox do well, and seeing your starting pitcher do well is a great indication of some possible success. But it was so important for David Price to come out and be good. And he threw seven innings, three hits, five strikeouts. He was efficient with his pitch count. He went right after hitters. He used his curveball. He used his cutter. He spotted in and out of the zone. And for Red Sox Nation, who needs to welcome back David Price into the fold, this was about as good as an initiation as Price could hope for. I still don't find David Price overtly likable, but I am also not naive. You're 10 times more likable when you're doing what David Price did today than when you're not playing and complaining like David Price did a year ago. Good on him for coming out. He has been dominant over his first two starts of this 2018 season. And the Red Sox are doing exactly what we said they needed to do. They are following this formula to a T. They have had a soft schedule thus far to this point. Okay, they are 6-1. They have capitalized on that soft schedule. 4 in Tampa to start, 2 in Miami, and then back home for Tampa. I said through the first 6 games, at 4-2, 5-1 was a necessity. They went 5-1. They add on one now. Now are 6-1. They'll get two more with Tampa over the weekend. And then they're off on the biggest road trip of the season. And if you can go into that with some real momentum, which by all indications that they will, then you are set up for a good recipe here in 2018. Again, you can't win a division in April, but you can lose a division in April. You look and see teams that end up in April at, you know, 9-16 and see where they end up. It's a lot harder to dig yourself out of that hole than you might think that it is. You know, we'll say, quote, it's early, but if you go 9-16 in April, that's tough. If the Red Sox come out here and go 18-7 in April, then they're going to be well on their way to a possible third consecutive AL East championship. And that's what this is all about now. This is about winning another division title and then getting to the World Series and winning it. I read a fascinating piece yesterday on Alex Cora. It was in The Athletic, and it was a great story about Cora and the pressure that he's under and how he knows that. I mean, this is a team that fired their manager after back-to-back division titles. You know how many organizations would give up their soul for back-to-back division titles? And the Red Sox fired John Farrell for that. Cora knows the pressure that he is under, and he is ready to meet it head-on, and his team could not be out to a better start. Again, if you want to get in, you can. 802-655-6672. Town Fair Tire text line. Other notes from opening day. It is a good thing that that offense got going. The Red Sox were down 2-0 and listless into the bottom of the ninth, going up against one of the best closers in the American League in Alex Colomé. And they end up with a rally, and there's Xander Bogaerts with two strikes, tying the ball game with a laced single or laced double off the Green Monster. Hanley had a floating single to center before that. They flashed up the graphic on Twitter. Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald said at one point, this was prior to the ninth inning, so it's gone up a little bit. The Red Sox offense was hitting .229 with only four home runs. They're still not hitting for a lot of power, but J.D. Martinez had two hits today. Xander Bogaerts continued to hit the ball well. Mookie Betts hit the ball well, especially early in this game. Hanley, a couple of hits, including the game winner that you heard on that clip just a few minutes ago. There are good things happening with that Red Sox offense, and it's good that it came to manifest itself late in this game. The other thing of which I've told you is the bullpen. Now, the bullpen after Carson Smith. This game was 0-0 into the eighth. After David Price leaves, Carson Smith gives up a two-run homer to Matt Duffy, and I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, as much as I like Carson Smith, this is exactly what I warned people about. This is exactly what I warned people about. Bullpens are so volatile, and they are so fragile. And just because you have a good bullpen one year, it does not mean you are going to have a good bullpen the next year. I mean, again, this is prior to the end of the game. Prior to the end of the game, so these numbers are a little bit better for the bullpen. But at one point, the starting rotation for the Red Sox, 42 innings, 0.86 ERA. The Red Sox bullpen, 23 innings, 4.70 ERA. Let me repeat that again. At one point, it was 42 innings for the starters, 0.86 ERA. It was 23 innings for the relievers, 4.70 ERA. The bullpen also, four more walks than the rotation in 19 less innings. That is not good. Red Sox bullpen was second last year in bullpen ERA. You can't just write in for that again. I still would have liked to have seen the team go out and address the pen in a more aggressive way. Carson Smith healthy, Tyler Thornburg we know will be healthy at some point. But I don't know. I wanted to see this team go after Brian Shaw, who was a great reliever with the Indians and signed with Colorado. I wanted to see him go after Greg Holland. I don't know that they could have afforded a Wade Davis or Holland at the beginning of the offseason. But as the prices begin to fall and Holland just got signed a week ago, maybe you could have gone after him. Maybe you could have re-signed Addison Reed. Those are things they would have liked to have seen from the Red Sox. It didn't end up costing them the game, but it very well could have today. That bullpen, just because it was good last year, does not mean that it's going to be lights out this year. I'm also not saying it's going to be horrible, but continue to watch that bullpen. It's Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. All right, we'll take a break. We'll take a quick one. When we come back, that was the good news of the day. We'll get to the bad news next right here at Champlain Valley Game Night.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. Champlain Valley Game Night going up until 7 o'clock. Red Sox win it 12 innings. They get that win in the home opener, move up to 6-1. They're off to a great start on the season. Hanley Ramirez, the hero today, one of a few heroes. He had two RBIs. Red Sox won that game 3-2. 7 o'clock tonight, Bruins and the Florida Panthers. That game right here on 101.3 ESPN as well. The Red Sox win is great news, and the good news ends there for the Boston sports fan today. We have had these delusions of grandeur this year that maybe this could be a year that both the Celtics and the Bruins take home championships. The Bruins are a certifiable favorite for the Stanley Cup, especially getting to the Stanley Cup Finals. And the Celtics, you think with a little bit of good luck, and if they were going to come back healthy, yeah, maybe they get a chance. Well, those dreams seem to be out the window today. Kyrie Irving, all-star point guard, 24 points a game. He is out, not just for the rest of the regular season for the few games left, not just for the first round of the playoffs. Kyrie Irving is out for the entire season, however long that season lasts. Kyrie Irving out now. 4 to 5 months of rehab. The statement from the Celtics says that he will undergo a procedure to remove the two screws he had implanted in his left knee after the fractured kneecap he suffered in 2015. They had the procedure on March 24th to remove the tension wire, and now we have determined there is a bacterial infection at the site of the hardware. Kyrie Irving is out 4 to 5 months. This is awful for the Celtics. This is awful for the NBA. As far as the Celtics go, we feel like really we have been robbed of seeing what could have been a truly special team. It's already been a good team. No matter how this Celtics season ends up, Brad Stevens might win Coach of the Year. Jason Tatum will be a top three or four for Rookie of the Year. There will be good things to take out of this season, no matter when it ends. But we were robbed on opening night of seeing Gordon Hayward for the entire season. We were robbed tonight of seeing Kyrie Irving play in the playoffs. We were robbed of a Kyrie-LeBron playoff series. And that is bad news for Celtic fans, Celtic Nation. That's bad news for the NBA as well, because the NBA was looking for Kyrie-LeBron Eastern Conference Finals. And then they were looking for either Kyrie Steph or LeBron Steph rematch in the NBA Finals. That's what the NBA wanted. The NBA is not going to get it. And more importantly, you, the fan, aren't going to get an opportunity to see the Celtics at their best. And now it just feels really, as crass as this sounds, it feels like really this year has been a waste for us now. No Hayward all season. No Kyrie in the playoffs. Yes, there are good bits and pieces to take out of it. Jaylen Brown's development. Terry Rozier getting the exposure to play and playing well. We're going to see him all playoffs long. Getting Tatum to really develop and burgeon into a guy that some people are saying is going to be a top five player in this league someday. There are good things here, but we have been robbed of what could have been great things. And that is extremely disappointing. Kyrie Irving out for the rest of the season. You know how I feel about Kyrie. He is my favorite player to watch in the NBA. From his ball handling ability to his slick shooting to his passing ability, and even now to a renewed sense of urgency on defense, Kyrie Irving has been really, really good again this year. And now we know that he's been playing through pain for this entire year. And it's disappointing that we're not going to get to see it. 802-655-6672. I know we do it in the huddle, but it is Thursday. I'm calling the shots today. Let's play big deal, little deal, or no deal with just me. Big deal, little deal, no deal. Question one. The Red Sox have now made 7 outs on the bases this year. 7 outs in 7 games. Big deal, little deal, no deal. If you want to play along, you can on the Town Fair Tire text line. That's a big deal. Alex Cora came here and said this team was going to change the way that they played. They were going to be more aggressive early in the count. They were going to hunt fastballs and fastball counts. That was going to be good. They were also going to be better at running the bases. And right now, they have run themselves into 7 outs. I mean, J.D. Martinez got a wind-blown leadoff triple today and could have scored. That wasn't even an out that he ran into, but he could have scored on a ground ball to first and didn't. They got thrown out on the bases earlier in the game. That's disappointing. It is a big deal. For a team that is stressing the fundamentals this year, that's not a good way to start. Averaging an out a game on the bases, those outs are like gold. You can't just give them away. Question two. Yesterday, the Yankees got homers from Stanton, Judge, and Gary Sanchez all in the same game. Big deal, little deal, no deal. Yeah, it's a big deal, but it's an exhausting big deal. It's a big deal if you're a Yankee fan. It's a big deal if you're the rest of the league. The Yankees had a really nice, it was really nice last year when the Yankees were lovable. They were lovable. And I hate the Yankees, and they were lovable last year. They had the great story of the rookie and Aaron Judge, the homegrown talent. They had Didi coming out of nowhere. It was Severino. It was a nice story. And they weren't the favorite. And it was seeing them in the ALCS in Game 7 was a surprise to us, not an expectation. That was fun. Now, they're back to being... They're 100% the evil empire again. 100%. Yes, it's jealous. Yes, it's juvenile on my part. But I cannot stand now to watch them hit home runs like that. I cannot stand to hear Michael Kay go, "See ya!" I can't stand to hear John Sterling go, "Gregorius, euphorious, and the Yankees take a 3-1 lead." I can't stand that. So yes, it's a big deal. If you love them, it's a big deal. If you hate them, and it's just going to keep on happening. Question three here, Champlain Valley Game Night, playing big deal, little deal, no deal. The Patriots made a couple of signings yesterday, big deal, little deal, no deal. I'm going both ways on this. The signing of the offensive lineman that they got, that is a big deal, okay? The signing of Luke Bowanco, that's a big deal. This is a guy, offensive linemen do not grow on trees. Offensive linemen are one of the hardest positions to develop, and offensive line play across the league seemed to really be down last year. In Luke Bowanco, a guy who they signed from the Baltimore Ravens, they get a 26-year-old, so they don't get a guy who's old. They get younger on the offensive line. I don't know that he's going to start, but it's a good move. They get younger on the offensive line. He is had a number of starting experiences. Okay, he had 14 starts at center as a rookie with the Jaguars. He played all 16 games last year at left guard. He doesn't replace Nate Solder because he plays more inside, but he's played a bunch of positions. He's done reasonably well, enough to get a number of starts. Okay, he's 6'6", 300 pounds. I like the move. Maybe it's just a depth move, but we saw that that depth was tested last year. That's a good move. The signing of tight end Troy Nicholas, that means nothing to me. That's no deal to me. He's 25 years old. He's played 4 years. I like his age. I like his size. He's 6'6", but I mean, he had 11 catches last year and one touchdown. I got excited about Dwayne Allen a year ago, and it ended up backfiring on me. So I'll say big deal on the signing of Bowanco, the offensive lineman. No deal on the signing of Nicholas. Continuing on, big deal, little deal, no deal. The Tennessee Titans have new uniforms. This is a little deal. I like uniforms. I like when teams get cool uniforms. I don't love the Titans' new uniforms themselves. What I do love is the helmet. The helmet went from that white color to navy blue, and that is a win. That is a much sharper look for the Titans. I will say that is a good thing. The uniforms themselves don't look crazily different. The numbers look horrendous on them. There's some kind of odd placed red stars in the uniform that I'm not a fan of, but the blue helmet, that is a good one. So I'll go little deal overall. Question five in the final question. Conor McGregor going bananas at the UFC. Big deal, little deal, no deal. This is a big deal. I don't know that it's a publicity stunt. It is publicity for the UFC, and that's always going to be a big deal. For McGregor, he appears to just have gone off the reservation. So he holds a title. He won't defend it. So Dana White gives it away, and they're going to refight for it on Monday. And McGregor and his crew, or on Saturday rather, McGregor and his crew just show up in New York City unannounced and start hurling objects at the UFC bus. And one of the UFC fighters who was going to fight on Saturday is injured. That is a big deal. I don't know what happens to McGregor out of this. Is Dana White going to kick him out of UFC? Is he not going to let him fight anymore? I don't know that it gets to that. That would be a big deal too. But I'll say this is a big deal because someone got hurt. Therefore, it's a big deal. And therefore, we're talking about it. So it has to be a big deal. I haven't talked about UFC since August when McGregor and Mayweather fought in a boxing match. That's it for big deal, little deal, no deal. Short show. And we're done. That just like that, we're done. And I got to say, I'm a little resentful of that because we had this game was flying. Red Sox game was flying by. And I'm like, we're going to get on the air at 5 o'clock. This is going to be great. We got 2 hours worth of content to get to. And now we only get 25 minutes. So we'll be back tomorrow, and we will have a great show planned because some of it's already planned because we didn't get to use it today. Tomorrow, remember, we are broadcasting live Natural Provisions in Williston. We will be there 4 o'clock for the huddle, 6 o'clock for Champlain Valley Game Night. You're going to want to come out and spend some time with us. It's going to be a blast. Natural Provisions in Williston tomorrow on our 101.3 ESPN Craft Beer Tour. See you tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning on Golic and Wingo. The NFL.